paper, that research paper. You guys have deadlines at your job, and so it's that type of the year, the end of the year, the push is coming. Work causes stress. You have a new job, the same old job, you're still stressed. Illnesses, number four, you're sick or something's caused, and stress on you got ill because of stress, and now it's even more stress because you got illness. And what's the future hold? Expectation of others. There's a big one that we don't cover sometimes, and it's called unresolved sin. Listen to me on this one. Unresolved sin brings stress because you know you're not doing right, you're not living right, you're not living by God, and God's not out to hit you. We have this wrong precept of God that he's out to hit you with a baseball bat in an alley, and it's not like that. God loves you. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to be restored, right, everybody? So there's unresolved sin, and we bring it on our own lives because Jesus said, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Man, y'all are a great church. And finally, the biggest stress factor I have in my life, number six, is the Dallas Cowboys. Are they going to win this week? Are they going to lose this week? You know, so that's stress. The holiday season, Christ brings us peace. We celebrate the coming by making peace impossible for 6 weeks each year, the 6 weeks before Christmas. And A.W. Tozer finished it up by saying this, Jesus came to the poor, and we heap gifts upon those that don't even need gifts. They just get more gifts. And I'm all for Christmas and celebrating. I'm not going to be a bah humbug type of guy up here, but I'm just saying, we lose our peace and we get stress levels so high during a time that we should have peace on earth. Do you understand that today? That's what the song's all about, and that's what Jesus did. How do we handle stress? I want to tell you first, not to let the air out of your tire today, is your promised trouble. Jesus said, in this world you'll have trouble, but have peace. And so I thought, you know, it was going to be different. No, even the Old Testament writer, show me the slide in Psalms 34:19, New King James Version. Somebody say, many. Many, 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 many. That means a whole bunch. You got to go from stressed to blessed today. Amen. Many are the afflictions. That meant that man of God that wrote that, David probably, he probably mentioned that this was an affliction that we were facing. And the Hebrew word was the Assyrian army. The feeling of it was that they came along, and when they would conquer a nation, they would tie a person up on a stake, and then they would put rocks upon rocks, all the way up, another rock. And that affliction was, it would begin to crush them. I can't take another rock. I can't take another stress point in my life, or I'm going to fall out. I'm going to die. And then that's the way the Assyrians would torture and kill their enemy that they had conquered, because of the torture of the rocks crushing a person. I can't take one more stress event. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of. So we serve a delivering God, don't we, today? But what I notice about this passage is this. It's interesting that even the righteous, not the wicked, they're the ones that get afflicted. Right, everybody? I thought it was going to be different, Pastor. I'm tithing. I'm coming to church. I'm giving my time. I'm doing all this. I thought it was going to be better. No, that's bad theology. You're giving your tithe. You're bringing your tithe. You're giving your time. You know it's bad theology to think that, because here's what God wants. God, you're still going to go through it according to the Word of God, even what Jesus said in the New Testament. But you go through it now with God. You're not alone anymore. You stand strong. And you say, I'm going to overcome. I think that deserves a praise break right now, right, everybody? God's going to be with you during troubling times, right, everybody? There's a beautiful psalm that was sung, and they would sing all 150 of them as they rang out. The psalms are beautiful. In Psalm 62, I believe it's in your handout or on the big screen, verse 5. Somebody shout, find rest.
Find rest.
And make it a prayer right now. Oh, my soul in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation, my honor depends on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge, and I will trust him at all times. Oh, people, pour your hearts out to him. That's when you can be honest and blunt with God. Amen. You show him reverence, but you can be honest with God. Amen. And oh, God, my refuge. Somebody shouts, Selah. And that Selah word is in many of the Psalms, and it's in there 77 times. It's in the Psalms. because it would almost be this interlude. They'd be singing, "Can't nobody do me like Jesus, can't." And they'd be singing that song, and they'd be rocking the church out. And all of a sudden, it would stop, and it would go, they'd be playing that bass guitar, and that's all they'd be doing, playing interlude, amen, Selah, think on that. And "can't nobody do me like Jesus," but they're playing it on the bass. Y'all get it? Because I'll break down an air guitar up here, amen. Man, that might be my trunk, amen. I may be doing a musical trunk, amen. Who knows what? I got that singing anointing on me today, right, everybody? And so the band would just stop playing. The band would be playing, and the people of God would be considering how great. "Oh, God, you're a refuge to me. You've been good to me. I'm going to find rest in your Lord." Amen. It's a Selah moment, right, everybody? Let's continue. And it goes on. Somebody say, low-born men. That's a mouthful, right? They're better breath. And it means like average Joes, average Mario, average everybody in this room. They're better breath. Amen. The highborn, that means the people that you see on television, the multimillionaires, the highborn, they're but a lie. They're not much better than anybody else in this room, right, everybody? Amen. I like to say amen to that. Amen. Amen. If weighed in the balance, they are nothing. In other words, what it's telling us is, Jesus were to say, even if a man gains everything and loses his soul, he's lost everything, right? Amen. Earth success doesn't bring true success in the kingdom of God. You can have it all, look good, and have, but if you're successful in this life, amen, it's okay, thank God, to God be the glory, but that's not even true success. Together, they're only a breath, and that's James. Your life is here, it's a mist, it's gone. Everyone is in their last days in this room. Man, I'm only 17. I'm a teenager, you're saying. I'm 21. You're in your last days, man. We're not promised forever on this earth. Did you know that today? The older I get, I go, man, thank God for another year. How about you, right? Yeah. Do not trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods and through riches. In other words, don't fall in love with your stuff, amen? Increase, and do not set your heart on them today. The Bible says that today, right, everybody? Irma and I realize week after week when we pray over you and we believe God for your answers that you go through things and you walk into this room, this sanctuary, and you say, "It's all but I can to get in here." There's brokenness, and you put a smile on because you're brave people. You're the best people on the planet, living faith. And we pray for you, and we love you, and you know, we know you go through difficulties in this room and your families and things like that, the challenges that you face. Sometimes, honestly, that stress level is keeping me awake, amen, and it should, and I should roll it all over, because you belong to God, and I'll get to that in a moment today. Anyway, thank God, amen, that we want the answer from the Lord today, right, everybody? Amen. There are stress fractures that come to your life that aren't broken bones, but they hurt us emotionally, and they hurt us in our mind, they hurt us in our spiritual walk. And I'm going to give you some extra notes here about stress fractures in your life. We already covered relationships, which are in our before series. You can go back to our website and look at those. But I think the second, after relationship, the second stress fracture in life is, somebody say, time. It's the way we manage time, the way we spend time, the focus that we have of our life and what it should be about. It's not today. Daniel sees this king, and he's out of control, man. This king is just out of control. And Daniel begins to write about him. And Daniel gets this prophetic word, and it's this vision that he has, and it's his hand coming up, and it's the handwriting on the wall. Yeah, and I don't know if it was like, you know, that thing in the Addams Family that rose up and started writing. I don't know how it did it, but Daniel saw this vision, this truth, and the handwriting on the wall was this in Daniel chapter 5, verse 25 on the big screen. And the inscription was written, mean, tankle, Parzon, which is the Hebrew words, and here's what these words mean. No one could interpret it. Daniel was the one that saw it, and he interpreted. Mean means God has numbered your days, and he was telling this king, out of control king, the Lord has numbered your days and your reign, and it's going to be brought to an end. Again, every day is numbered by God in your life today, and so it's not the source. Your time is spent in this, and you got to redeem your time the right way and with eternity. And I'm going to speak of that. The word tankle was the word that you've been weighed. In other words, okay, you thought you were all that, but you know what? There's still not enough in your life. You're still wanting more. It's not satisfying just for you to have that raise. You need more. You need more. You got that girlfriend. You want more. You want more. You're being weighed, and you're still not found enough. There's not want. And then Perses is this. Your kingdom is divided, and it is going to be given to the Medes and Persian. Imagine the horror of that king that just said, everything that you've worked for, all the time that you've given, it's going to be divided. It's not going to last. It's going to be given away. I want you to make course adjustments today. As your pastor, it's pastoral today to speak this into your life. Look at your calendar. Sit down with your wife. Irma and I had to remind ourselves this morning, hey, we're not superhuman. We can only do so much, and there's only enough time to do certain. And she reminded me of that. You got to live that way, Nava boy. She called me, amen, that way, amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit speaking to me today, right, everybody? Yeah, and I spoke to her too, amen. No, and I did. I was underneath the bed. She said, get out underneath. Anyway, I was hiding. The Sabbath is for rest. And I want to remind you to take back your Sabbath again. There's, I'm here at church. You ought to be proud of me. I am. I'm blessed that you're here. I told you how great that you're a congregation. But would you extend your Sabbath when you leave this room? Oh, no, what is he going to tell me to do? Enjoy your wife. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your day. If it's not Sunday, get a Sabbath. Enjoy the outside. Let the sun breeze hit you. Amen. The day will be beautiful. Come back to Trunk or Treat. Amen. Enjoy the community with me. It's the Sabbath, right, everybody? Amen. Years ago, I had to make course adjustments because the Lord made me lie down. Now, listen, God didn't give me a disease. I want to just go ahead and qualify that very. God doesn't give us heart attacks, cancer, any of that. But we allow ourselves and we remove ourselves from God's hand sometimes, in his good hand, and we remove ourselves because we think we're all that in a bag of chips. We just started the building process, and we'd faced some challenges to get building like all buildings are. Even this building, what it cost us, and the last building, what cost us, the remodel, it cost us extraordinary things physically. It cost us heart. It cost us blood, sweat, and tears, as you can imagine. It wasn't easy walking into this thing. And so that happened. We were building the church during that season. We were just starting to break ground. And then we had transitioned in our home. We became empty nesters really overnight. And so it hit us. And I didn't know how bad it hit us until about this time several years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, when we started building this building. And I started having this double vision in my eye. That's how it started symptomatically. And I thought, you know, I'd walk my dogs. That happened towards the end of the day. I'd walk my dogs and I start seeing double houses, double. What was cool about it, I had like two wives, though. Yeah, it was like I'm a Mormon, man. Brother Jeffro, amen, brother. Now, anyway, but I started, what's happening? So I would squint and it would come back and and I got prayer. The elders laid hands on me. They spit all over me. They anointed me. And I started, but I went to the ophthalmologist. I thought, and they checked me out. You have allergies. They gave me a bunch of allergy medicine. So I got home, and then we took this trip, and it got real bad. I mean, I couldn't see. I had to let Irma drive. It was that bad. Then my eyebrow started arching up, and it was like Spock. Amen. I had to shave my eyebrows. Some of y'all remember that. And So I called the doctor when we got back from that trip, and I said, hey, this is what's going on. And he said, I want you to come in immediately. I'm concerned that you have a brain tumor. Help me. I was like, no, not have brain tumor. No, he said, come in. And they did all these eye pressure tests on my eye, and they checked scans, and ophthalmologists do. And they go, well, the good news is after 30 minutes, you don't have a brain tumor. But I need to send you to a specialist. Yeah, thank God for that. Amen. But you need to go to the specialist. So it was a month wait, about 3 weeks of waiting, because he was a specialist and not too many in San Antonio. And they did blood work. And again, scans. And we're going to order all these scans. And it was a 3-week wait after that. Have y'all ever been to doctors? Amen. And so I said, doctor, what do I do? I'm seeing double. I have to preach. I'm having this Spock thing go on while I'm talking to people. They're looking at me weird, and then they started even making fun of me, some of them. They didn't know any better. They would like look at me like that, and And it showed me, hey, have some compassion for people, right? You don't know what they're going through. It was interesting. And then a month later, I got into that doctor's office room, and I sat there. And he said, Mr. Nava, you have a disease called myasthenia gravis. I never heard of it. He says, it's an autoimmune disease. And it's brought up, the door opening that we know about it is it's brought on by stress. You open the door by stress and it adds to your sickness. And he says, am I contagious? He said, only when you preach are you contagious. And so my lifestyle changed. My glasses changed. Medicine changed. Yeah. Rest changed. I had to get back to the place that I needed to be. You know what the most piercing thing is to me? That I like to call myself a man of God, of course, not because I'm a pastor, because I'm a Christian, just like every man in this room. And I like to say God handles my diseases and God takes them all away. But I'm not blaming myself, and nobody preach a sermon to me at the end of this message. I'm not allowing you to do that. But I am allowing myself to say this. I brought that on myself. If I would have handled the stress better in my life, I may have not had this happen to me. If I would have handled my time better in life, I may have not, this ailment may have not happened to me. I believe God for healing just like you do with all my sicknesses, and by the stripes of Christ I'm healed, amen. I'm blessed today, and I'm telling you this just about your time, amen, to give it to God. Put God first, let him redeem the time. Because I'm preaching a sermon to myself. The second thing that brings stress fractures to your life is money. Somebody say money. Look at the finances that you have. The income that comes in because God's provided you the strength to do that. The income. How are you spending it? How is it wrongly being spent? Doesn't take too long to look at your receipts and the things from your bank statement. And you see the waste that it was and what you could have invested and what you could have done. Kingdom-wise, especially. 1 Timothy 6:6 says this, but godliness with contentment. In other words, move away from that greed and spend more. But there's great gain in contentment, being contented who you are. And we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing. And you notice the U-Haul is never behind the hearse, right, everybody? With all their stuff. Bring everything in the living room. It's taken. No, you're not going to take it with you. Somebody else is going to get that. Amen? But if we have food, look at the simplicity of this, of simple living and clothing, we will be content with that. These are people that changed the world in the first century by the way that they lived. And those that want to get rich fall into the temptation, a trap, into foolishness, into harmful desires that plunge people into and the love, not money. Thank God for money. Amen. The love. Of money. The love of money is the root of all kinds. What is the root of all kinds of evil?
Money.
The love of money. Money's good. Amen. Thank God for money. The love of money. You love money more than God. You love money more than the source. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the number one fight. The number one fight that you get into fights over your marriage. Right, everybody? Amen. Number one cause. It causes divorce, right, in some of our households over money. Right, everybody? So let me continue. Let's read it. The last line in yellow, everybody, big screen. If you can see it, 44-point aerial. I made it extra big for you. Come on, read it. Some people, yeah, have wandered from faith and pierced themselves. You mean to tell me even the people of God have left over money? Yeah, they have. This was what the Bible wasn't written to sinners. The guy watering his grass right now. The guy watching the NFL games because he's not in church. No, the guy in church, people leave. They leave God because of money. I want you to find rest for your souls. Jeremiah the prophet was called the weeping prophet. And he loved God's people, and he was really appealing to them. The reason why he was crying, he was like saying, come back to God. Walk this way. Don't keep walking this way. Destruction's coming. So in Jeremiah 6:16, extra note, it says this. This is what the Lord says. Now, did Mario say this?
No.
Did the Pope say this?
No.
Billy Graham? No, the Lord says this, you stand at the crossroads, and that's what I'm giving you. Are you going to keep having relationship this way? Time going this way? Money spent this way? Are you going to do it God's way? You're standing at a crossroads, right? And look at the ancient path. Go God's way. God's way has always been good. Do it God's way. The ancient path is established, right, everybody? And ask where the good is. Walk in it and you will find rest for your
soul.
Nothing like going to sleep and snoring. Give me a good amen. Yeah. Yeah. Get a mask. Amen. Get that app. Get the sleep study. Amen. If you're keeping it. But you said, will we walk in it? And it's almost like the people after Jeremiah said, you know what, living faith, they're saying, are we really going to do this? Are we finally going to stop running that race? Stop worrying so we're not sick anymore in our bodies, so our family's not sick, our marriages aren't sick. I want to give you God's principles of rest today. And they're straight from the Bible. I want you to know how you're spending your time, how you're spending your money right now. And number one is this, live with a sense of, somebody say, purpose and urgency. It defines what your life is all about, your purpose and your urgency. I can say yes to this and I can say no to that. Because I have a purpose. Somebody shout purpose.
Purpose.
And purpose keeps you going in the right direction and it keeps you focused. You discover your purpose. Those of you who really know me and love me through the years, you know I guard my Saturdays pretty carefully. You don't have to know. You enter a relationship with me, you're going to know that we guard our Saturdays pretty carefully. I've taken my wife along for the ride sometimes on that deal. Because my Saturdays, what I do on my Saturdays determines what happens on my Sundays. And I'm called to Sunday. That's what I'm called to do. Now, my weirdness might not be your weirdness, but my purpose is different than your purpose. You have to understand that, right, everybody? So somebody would say, oh, you poor guy, you don't have a weekend. You don't have a Saturday. No, that's not the way I look at it. I don't look at it that way at all because my purpose is Saturday, and it's huge to me. So I live for Sundays. I don't live for Saturday. It's not what I'm about. I live for Sunday. So I guard the what I eat most of the time, except last night, forgive me, Jesus. I'm still up. Maybe it was all that sugar I ate. Amen. I guard how I rest. I guard everything because what I do on Saturday will determine what I do on Sunday. Amen. And I'm at that halfway point in life. And I got an urgency to finish the assignment of what God has for me. Do you understand that today? And so are many of us in this room today. Right, everybody? Redeem the time because it's very brief on this earth that we have today. If I have only a breath, the Bible says that in James, it's limited. Then I have to redeem the time. I got to make time today. Amen. I got to be about. So I can say no to that because I have a greater purpose. I don't have to say yes to everything. Give me a good amen. And by the way, if I've spent Saturday with you, it's because I love you very, very much. And that's been the majority of you in this room. You're sucking the life out of me. Is that okay with everybody? Discover your purpose in life. Your purpose in life. We give you that. One of the gifts of Living Faith Church is to describe our DNA and how we're a church today. And Larry and Sherry Fuller will tell you about that in a couple of weeks at our connection luncheon. And so the first purpose of Living Faith Church is this, and it's really, number one is this, faith that you can see as we, and that's all about worship and what we do on Sunday mornings and what we do when we come together midweek on Wednesday. We fuel up because the church is really not about us in this room. It's about the outside. You understand that today? And so we fuel up as we gather together. There's nothing like letting a brother pray for you in this room. There's nothing like somebody standing and believing you or somebody telling you, hey, I missed you last week, man. You're missed. Or I love you, man. You're a blessing to me. Right, everybody? Again, if you're a bro, bro it up. Say, I love you, man. I love you, bro. Don't just look at him and say, I love you. Because they'll think you're weird. Bro it up if you're a man in this room to the brothers, all right? You'll get that through. You're not allowed to come to this church if you don't bro it up. Amen. Faith that you can see as we grow. And that's our growing in faith classes. We'll begin very soon. Howard and Sonia Varial will begin experiencing God classes. They just take you to the next level. Discipleship. You're small groups. You get in. The music team is a small group, believe it or not. They fire up each other. They pray for each other. They're transparent with each other. You got to get into a small group. All of us have this krypton, that thing that makes us weak, that habit that we do that. And we got to get so transparent, and it only happens not in a big room like this. It happens in a small group. When you look at them finally after the fourth week or maybe after 6 months, and you go, hey, they're just as weird as me. They got bad habits just like me. And you let down that guard and you say, pray for me because I'm struggling. No one is Jesus in this room or Superman in this room, right, everybody? Everyone needs a small group, and that's when we grow. We grow and we do things. And then finally, faith that you can see as we, somebody shout, go. This past Wednesday night, we did Be the Church, and we handed out over 100 candy bags that were made by the good people of Living Faith Church. And Helen came with us, and she was in our first service. She was one of our older ladies that is mature. But, man, she was like the brightest light bulb out there for Jesus, man. She was chasing down people. I don't know where the rest of you guys were, but we had a good time. Give me a good amen. So the real church is really not on the inside. It's on the outside. Will you get that with me? If you get that heart, it's the mission of our church. It's not about us in this room. It's about the people on the outside. One last thing. I'm not a hero by any means, but my neighbor, Larry, I hope he's not watching me on Facebook because I'm about to. He's a good neighbor. And he told me, you know, I pastor my neighbor. I've invited him and Maggie to the church over and over because I should. I'm the pastor, but I'm a Christian, and I invite people to church just like you do. And I invited him to church because he didn't go to any church. But I pastored the man. Several years ago, he was having a vision problem. I laid hands on him and prayed for him right in his backyard on his porch. He's going to go through an operation. And Irma asked me right away, hey, he's going through an operation in a couple of days. Did you pray for him? I go, not yet. I'm waiting for the right time. So she's reminded, my co-pastor has reminded me, amen, to pray for him. Because he doesn't necessarily, what you need to understand as you go, you Living Faith go, you're pastoring people in your neighborhood. The best Bible that they're going to read is you. It's not your sermon. They're going to see your life. Faults and all, but you're shining for Jesus. Would you go, Living Faith? Would you go across the street? Would you go into your neighborhood? Would you go into your son or daughter's school? Would you be the light of Jesus? Amen? Would you do that? Because that's why we're Living Faith. We are Living Faith. Our faith is active today. Amen? Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, how it's like. And I've always, interesting scripture, isn't it? Why don't you read it with me on three? You haven't had any fun all day. Are you there with me? Matthew 13, 44 on three. Come on, everybody, on three. One, two, three, go. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found it, he hid it again and bought that field. Hey, he got something, but it was in a field. And I don't own that field. I'm going to go buy that field. And now I'm going to give up everything I have. And that's what it is when you discover your purpose. You give up everything. You bankrupt heaven like God did for heaven because he wanted you. He gave his best you. But you give up everything and your purpose is focused in, laser in, that's an urgency. I must be about this. My life should be about this. I think of Linda Ziegler and Leonard. They faced a health crisis this past month. And many of y'all were praying and believing. And Leonard came out all right. Amen. Friday we got the word. Yeah. But you know what? We should have been clapping at the very beginning. Give me a good amen. Amen. But we did all this stuff, and I understand because I was, you know, deep down I was saying, man, no, in the name of Jesus, he doesn't have that. And what they're saying he may have, and we were believing God. But there's an urgency upon this couple because they want to clothe our community. The people that don't have clothes, their vision is to have a storefront store, not a little building that we're raising funds for now. But even a bigger building that's open 20, a coffee shop in it. They got a good vision. Do you understand? And that's their purpose and urgency right now in this season. Well, Linda retired. No, she didn't. She refired. God fired her up again. Amen. To do different things, right, everybody? You gotta, that's what you say no to. I don't have time for that, but that's what I'm gonna say yes to because I got time for that. And you live on that today. Amen. I'm gonna give you a little bit of encouraging news today. That's why you came to church. You're 100%. Everybody say 100%. All the way up. But do you know, yeah, all the way up. But do you know that 85% of you, anybody can do? That you, anyone can answer the cell phone. Anyone maybe can do this or that, can talk. Anybody, you know, 85% of you, they have a monkey on YouTube typing. Okay, so anybody can do something like you can do. It doesn't take, oh, you thought you are special. Amen. Your family tells you, mama said, you're special. 10% of you, I'm at what now? Howard, math, 85, what's 95% now? 10% of you, It takes maybe minimal training, 4 years of a degree. You get your master's, maybe another couple of. It takes a little. Well, you fired a gun. Yeah, you got training on that. You sent an email out. You did a spreadsheet. It takes a little bit more training. 10% of you takes a little bit more training. That's 95% of you. They can answer the phone. They can text. You know, you take a little bit of training on that. Yeah, they can preach a sermon. They can play a song. They take voice lessons. You understand where I'm getting at? Boy, what, man, I thought I was all that in a bag of chips. Only 5% of you can do only you. You can only do the 5%, and that's your purpose. See, only I can be the husband to my wife, and her 5%, only she can be my wife. Do you understand that today? No one else can do that. I'm called to do that today. Only I, see, I'm called to pastor this church right now in this season, and that's my 5%. Only I can do that. A hired gun could come in here and do that. You've seen churches like that. Every 5 years, a new pastor comes in. But I'm called to do this. Do you understand that today? There could be another guy that could do it, but he's not called. Do you understand that today? You find that 5%, and that's the sweet spot. That's where you live, and that's what you go. It determines the rest of the 95 on how well life goes if you're doing the 5% right. I did mine as a thing, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you, that scripture. But I put draw near to God. That's my one, and it probably is everybody. See, everybody's not going to have the same list, but we'll look alike with the same principles. Do y'all understand that today? So number one should probably, if you're a Christian, probably God, right? Because if you're not doing that right, you're probably not going to do life right. 95% won't work, right? It's going to falter. The second thing is I draw near to Irma. So there's a daily investment that I need to remind, that's what I'm about. And if I'm not doing that right, the 95 won't flow either. And then third place in my family is my family. There's a daily investment. I don't see my children. I haven't seen them in a couple of months now because they're in Dallas, but there's always a text every day. There's always a selfie. Amen. There's dad. Yeah. There's always something of connection with my kids because that's my family, right, everybody? Your list is probably going to be somewhat like it. Fourth is my church family. It's you. Because this is where I live. This is where I worship. This is where I get my inspiration. My vibrancy for my spiritual walk comes from this body many times. Yeah, right, everybody? And so those are my four, my big four. And if I do that 5% right, the rest of my life goes better. Do y'all understand that today? I found my purpose. I found my urgency, and so must you. It probably will look much like mine does. Right, everybody? And the condition of the way I treat those four will determine my state of life today. The second thing about putting first things first is second point, putting first things first. Put God first. Put Irma there right after, family, church, amen. The Bible says in Psalms 90, verse 12, the Living Bible translation, teach us to number our days. Every one of them has a number, amen. Every birthday counts, right, everybody? One more year I live, give me a good amen. Amen. And recognize how few that they are. Boy, do I recognize that now, right? I wish I would have known that when I was 21, when I was 15. How about you? I wouldn't have been not as stupid as I was. Help us to spend them as we should. How should we spend them? I'm glad you asked that. Jesus answered that in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. Right, everybody? Amen. In all these things. Yes, they'll be given to you as well today. God has blessed this church. Amen. So I'm not asking for money, but if you put God first in your finances, he'll redeem your finances. Get that curse off of your life today. Amen. It doesn't belong on God's people today. Put God first in your finances. How about your time? Redeem it. Amen. Redeem the time. Redemption comes every time you put God first. That's my time. God comes first. My finances, God comes first. And you'll see the redemption come flowing down. Is that okay with everybody? That didn't cost you anything. That was like a chicken nugget I threw it at you. Amen. With some sweet and sour sauce. Amen. Three is this. Final point. Keep my heart set on where? Heaven. It's a place. It's real. It's not a state of imagination. It's a real place. It's heaven. Amen. You lower your expectations on this earth, or you're going to stay stressed. You got to lower earth expectations, or you're just going to get sick. You're going to get diseases. And everything has to work out here. You don't understand. Everything has to work out here. And the bad news is it may not work out on planet Earth for you. As much as I want it to, as much as I don't want to have to take prescription medication, it may not work out for you on planet Earth. And that's not good news to announce to a church, especially because we have this American gospel that stinks. We've been blessed in this nation. We've been graced by so many things that God has given us, but we have this American thought that everything's going to work out for us in America because we're American. Heaven, America, right here, right underneath heaven. And we have every heavenly thing that we need, and we made America heaven, and it doesn't need to look that way anymore. Be content with what you have. Amen, and thank God for it. Disappointments. If you're messed up right now in your psyche and all frustrated, I can guarantee you this, you bank too much on heaven. You bank too much on earth. Take that back. Yeah, you say, well, when my loved one died, I banked too much on earth. Now he's going to be around. Dad's going to be around. Dad's going to be around. And boy, did I miss him. But you know what I got? I got heaven's perspective, and my heart was set on heaven. And the grieving finally stopped because I had to grieve, not like the world. I had to have purpose in my life that there's an eternity. Do you understand that? Yeah. And my time is short, just like your time is short on this earth, and it's our last days, and I'm going to have an eternity with my Father. Amen. It's forever, not 70-something years. Amen? That's short. And so that's why my grandparents, my abuelita, she had the right perspective. They didn't have much, but boy, were they happy in Converse, Texas, on Hilltop Avenue Road right there in Converse in that house. That house that my grandfather built, it got added on. Every time they were adding on rooms, man, I just adding on and adding on and on their land there. But the simplicity of them making tamales and making menudo on a cold day, and my aunts and tias all around us was life. And no one knew that they didn't have much money, but that's the way that they lived. Y'all understand that today? Because they were content, and they got it. They got it. That's why soon and very soon, we are going to go see the King. Amen. Yeah, God's been good to us. In third world countries, I've seen this. A kid in an orphanage will play with a stick. They don't have a smartphone. They don't have games. They're playing with a stick, and they can play with it all day long doing different things. It's a sword. It's a gun. It's an instrument that they can make a drawing out of in the dirt because they're content with that. Do you all understand that today? Right, everybody? By the grace of God, amen, we're blessed today in this country. And keep my heart set on heaven. Paul did his best not to bank on this earth. Greatest Christian that ever lived. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Therefore, do not what? And we want to because of all this world is going through. This world's going through a hell in a handbasket, right? You think, we watch the news. What a scary thought to watch the news at 6 p.m., right? 5:30, right? Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For the light and momentary troubles, that's all it is. Ain't nothing but a thing. You're going to get through this. Daddy's gone. It's a momentary trouble. I'm going to see him again. Right, everybody? Amen. You got to get that into your spirit. Are achieving for us eternal glory that far outweighs them all. In other words, how now? How do I have this light where I look at it that way, Paul? How? How do I do that? Because I want to get out of this funk that I'm in. I'm glad you asked. He continues. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Boy, I sure do miss him. Yeah, that was seen. But now he's unseen. Amen. Dad's in heaven, and one day I'll see him. And what is seen is temporal, and what is unseen is what?
Eternal.
One day we're going to be eternal today. Amen. Eternal beings. That's how you handle stress. Amen.
Amen.
That's how you look at it today. Amen. And so give your time. Give your finances, put God first in your life, and the trouble and the stress will go away. Because Jesus offers more than a better now. He offers a better what? He offers heaven. Are you ready? Are you ready for heaven? I hope you are. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, what is it that you're trying to tell us in this room today? And as you bow your heads and close your eyes, and you need to ponder life today, maybe sitting in the rocking chair, maybe sitting in that nice chair or outside, let the sun hit you, and you need to reorder your life. Maybe you finally need to get a budget for your finances. Maybe you need to look at a calendar and prioritize what's important. Live with a sense of purpose as a Christian. Live with a sense of urgency as a man of God, as a woman of God in this room. Put first things first. Let me pray for you, Father. Touch the congregation of Living Faith Church, the people of God. There's no other people like them in the planet, God. They are called Living Faith for a reason. Their faith is active. They have that DNA. They're witnesses unto the ends of the earth, Lord. Thank you that you'll bless them. You'll provide for them this day. Thank you for the hope in God that we have, Lord. As you continue to pray with me, stay in an attitude of prayer. Nobody looking around as the lights can come down. You on Facebook right now, stay in an attitude of prayer also right now. We're going to call it in right now. We're going to finish up, but we're going to finish up strong. And we want you on Facebook to be part of this also. It's an invitation. You're in this room today and you're far away from God. You've never said yes to Jesus. We always give you an opportunity at Living Faith to receive Christ on Sunday morning. He's our Savior. He's our King. And you're in this room today and you're not joining a church. This isn't what this is about. This isn't about joining Living Faith, membership, not any of that. But you're acknowledging God that you need a Savior, that you need the good hand of God to come back to your life, that you're far away from God. Your priorities are mixed up right now. God's not on the top shelf. He wants to be, but you got to place him there. He's a gentleman. You surrender right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're in this place not to embarrass you. I'm asking that your hand is lifted slightly. I'm asking that your hand is lifted slightly if that's you. If that's you right now, would you lift your hand slightly? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to note it. Is that you? Yes. God, no, you're scratching your head. Okay. Sorry about that. Just making sure. Right now, yes, God bless you. God bless you. Yes, I see your hand. That's why it's so important you don't move around during church, during especially this time. It's a covenant time. I guard this time. Somebody could have lost their way because you walked in. Honestly, let that come to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you, Miha. You're my family. Somebody else, making sure two people. Please pause. Don't move around. Don't move around, please. It's very important. Two people lifted their hand right now. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now, just of repentance. Every time I do something wrong, I hurt the heart of God, and I pray this prayer. I pray it often. I'm a sinner saved by grace. How about the rest of us sinners in this room? We pray this prayer with the two that lifted their hand. You pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. My brother, my sister right now, pray it loud enough. Pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Thank you for your hand upon me. You wipe away all my sins. Thank you, Lord. I'm received by you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless the people of the Lord, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for every disciple on this platform, Lord, the band. Thank you for the disciples that are in the Living Faith Church today. Thank you for the two disciples that lifted their hand right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the hand of God upon us today. Thank you, Jesus. God is wonderful. God's blessing this church. Amen. The angels are partying according to what I've read in the Word when lives come back to him. So I think we ought to say thank you, Jesus, for a new life at Living Faith Church. Thank you, Lord. If you'll give me a connection card with the prayer request that you receive Christ or a need that you have in your life, I take those very personally, and I pray for those. Norma prays for those, and we have those near our hearts every week today. So Make sure you get that back. Growing in faith happens if you lifted your hand especially. I just believe you need to go back to growing in faith at 9 a.m. every Sunday. Be part of that and make sure that you're part of that this coming Sunday. Is that cool with everybody? Yeah? Amen. We're going to receive communion as a family, a church family. That means it's a meal. It's not a big meal because I love big meals, but this is a small but powerful meal. We take the meal together as a family.